Climate Change the Facts. The Science and Politics of Climate Change by Ian Plimer. Part 1. Ian Plimer is the Emeritus Professor of Earth Sciences at the University of Melbourne, Professor of Mining Geology at the University of Adelaide, and author of Not for Greens, published 2014. We derive scientific evidence from measurement, observation, and experiment. Evidence must be repeatable and collected over and over again. Computers do not generate evidence. They analyze evidence that should have been repeated and validated. On the basis of the evidence and analysis of evidence, an explanation is given. This explanation is a scientific theory and must be in accord with other validated evidence from diverse sources. This is known as the coherence criterion in science. Unlike in law, there is no inadmissible evidence in science. Science is underpinned by practitioners who must be skeptical of the methodology used to collect evidence, the analysis of evidence, and the conclusions based on the evidence. On the basis of new evidence, scientists must always be prepared to change their opinions. Science bows to no authority, is not based on a consensus, and is in a constant state of flux. No great advance in science has been made by consensus. Advances have been made by individuals paddling upstream. If a scientific theory is not in accord with validated evidence, then the theory must be abandoned and reconstructed. It is skepticism that underpins science, not the comfort of consensus. The theory of human-induced global warming is not science because research is based on a preordained conclusion. Huge bodies of evidence are ignored, and the analytical procedures are treated as evidence. Furthermore, climate science is sustained by government research grants. Funds are not available to investigate theories that are not in accord with government ideology. Many Western governments have a politically popular ideology that argues that, 1, there is an increase in emissions of carbon dioxide, CO2, by human activities. 2, the increased CO2, a greenhouse gas, will lead to ever-increasing global warming. 3, there will be tipping points, sea level rises, extinctions, and ocean acidification. 4, climate change will be irreversible, and that human emissions of CO2 must be reduced or stopped as soon as possible. And 5, in order to stop climate change, energy sources need to be shifted from coal, gas, and oil to wind, solar, tidal, and biomass. Let's look at each of these points. 1, there is an increase in emissions of carbon dioxide by human activities. Point 1 is correct. These emissions derive mainly from the developing world and the understandable desire of its people to reach the same standard of living as the Western middle class. It was coal in the Industrial Revolution that originally led to the rise of the middle class in the West. Now, the new Industrial Revolution in China, India, and East Asia is causing the largest migration of humans that has ever occurred. The rise of the middle class in these nations, and the use of steel and electricity, both of which derive from coal. The very slight increase in atmospheric CO2 has led to a slight greening of the planet. As all farmers know, CO2 is plant food, and the emission of increasingly large amounts of CO2 by humans is good for life on Earth. Point 2. The increased carbon dioxide, a greenhouse gas, will lead to ever-increasing global warming. Point 2 has shown to be invalid on all timescales. There is no doubt that CO2 is a greenhouse gas. However, The main greenhouse gas is water vapor. The first 100 parts per million of CO2 have a significant effect on atmospheric temperature, whereas any increase from the current 400 parts per million will have an insignificant effect. Furthermore, because CO2 has a short residence time in the atmosphere, it is naturally sequestered into the oceans, life, or rocks in less than a decade. In fact, only one molecule of every 85,000 in the atmosphere is CO2 of human origin. And yet, we are asked to believe that this one molecule drives hugely complex climate change systems. We are also asked to believe that the 32 molecules of CO2 of natural origin in every 85,000 molecules play no part in driving climate change. Despite a significant increase in industrial emissions of CO2, there has been no increase in global atmospheric temperature over the past 17 years. This shows that the theory that CO2 emissions of human origin drive global warming and climate change must be rejected. But this rejection has not yet taken place. In ice core measurements, the evidence shows that temperature increase occurs hundreds to thousands of years before there is an increase in atmospheric CO2. This again shows that atmospheric CO2 does not drive atmospheric temperature change. On yet another scale, geology shows that all six of the great ice ages were initiated when atmospheric CO2 was far higher than at present, and with the first two great ice ages up to 1,000 times higher than the current atmospheric CO2 content. Furthermore, geology shows that there has been sequestration of atmospheric CO2 into limy sediments, other rocks, and life for 2,500 million years. This process continues. The Earth currently has a very low CO2 content compared with the past. We actually live in a cold epoch. Ice is a rare rock and has been on Earth for less than 20% of its history. For most of time, planet Earth has been warmer and wetter. In the past, ecosystems thrived when there was a huge atmospheric carbon dioxide content, especially if it was warm. This is known by horticulturalists. They pump warm CO2 into glass houses. The optimum CO2 content is more than 1,600 parts per million, as compared with the current atmospheric content of 400 parts per million. History shows that communities thrived when it was warm, and there was massive depopulation during cooler times. It is only recently, when Westerners have been very affluent, that people have feared the warmth. In former times, communities feared the cold because Jack Frost brought death, disease, famine, and war. Point 3. There will be tipping points, sea level rise, extinctions, and ocean acidification. Sea level changes. Point 3 is not reflected by evidence. In the past, when atmospheric CO2 was up to 1,000 times higher than at present, there were no tipping points, no carbon dioxide-driven climate change, and no runaway global warming. In fact, the planet was its normal wet, warm self with the occasional ice age. Sea level rise is caused by water covering the land or the land sinking. Water can rise over the land because the oceans fill with sediment. Large submarine igneous provinces displace water. The ocean floor rises, and continental glaciers and ice sheets melt. The most common reason for water covering the land is ice melting. However, in each of the six major ice ages, there were hundreds of glaciations and warm interglacials. Ice retreats and expands for many reasons, and temperature is only one of the reasons. When glaciation locks up more water as snow and ice, sea level falls, and the land covered by ice sinks, creating a land rise elsewhere. During an interglacial, sea level rises, the land that was covered with ice rises, and other land areas sink. Within the current interglacial, sea level has risen about 130 meters over the last 12,000 years. The rate of sea level rise has decreased, as would be expected towards the end of an interglacial. Some land areas that were covered by ice, for example, Scandinavia, have risen, and nearshore ice sheets have been destabilized by sea level rise. Sea level changes are natural. Since the zenith of the last glaciation 20,000 years ago, sea level has risen. What is expected after a glaciation? A sea level fall or a sea level rise? What is important is that the post-glacial rate of sea level rise is declining, exactly what would be expected at the end of an interglacial period. Nature Geoscience recently reported that since 2002, the rate of sea level rise has declined by 31%. It seems illogical that the current sea level rise is due to human activities, whereas the previous hundreds of sea level rises were not. In fact, sea level rises and falls are used by petroleum geologists to understand the 3D shape of potential oil and gas reservoirs. Geologists have known about sea level rises and falls and climate change for hundreds of years, and the community has now only just woken up to the fact that the planet is dynamic. In what can only be regarded as religious narcissism, climate catastrophists now claim that sea level rise, ice sheet melting, torrential rains, drought, hurricanes, and any other severe weather event is due to the activity of affluent Westerners. The past shows a very different story. Land level changes. There can be no understanding of sea level rise and fall without an understanding of local land level rises and falls. Scandinavia, Scotland, and Canada are rising because during the last glaciation, ice sheets covered these areas and pushed down the land. Now that the ice has melted, there is rebound, and the land is rising. If land rises, other areas of land may sink, such as Holland. Land rises in mountains as a result of compression, such as the Himalayas. Whereas when there is extension or pulling apart, land sinks. For example, Lake Eyre. The world's oceans formed by extension, and because the oceans are still growing at the mid-ocean ridges, the land masses at the edges of oceans are uplifted into hills or mountain chains, like the Great Dividing Range. These changes are very rapid. For example, the ancient port of Ephesus in western Anatolia is now 15 kilometers inland and 7 meters above sea level. The ancient Lycian city of Smyrna on the southern coast of Anatolia is now underwater. Coastal areas may sink due to fluids such as water, gas, and oil being expelled from unconsolidated sediments during sediment loading, traffic, buildings, human-induced vibrations, and tides. Any local government that brings in legislation to restrict coastal building by using international sea level projections has only used half the evidence, albeit questionable anyway, as local land level rises and falls are far more profound than long-term sea level rises and falls. The Maldives is 70 centimeters higher now than in the 1970s, and eastern Australia is 2 meters higher than 4,000 years ago. Without a detailed knowledge of local land rises and falls, subsidence, erosion, and sedimentation, global sea level predictions for coastal planning are only unfounded speculation. Coral atolls. Charles Darwin showed in 1842 that as sea level rises, coral atolls grow and keep up with the sea level rise. His suggestion was that coral atolls growing on top of a volcano keep growing at a very rapid rate as the volcano subsides. The sinking of an island has the same effect as a sea level rise. It is a relative sea level rise. Darwin's theory was validated after drilling of coral atolls in the South Pacific Ocean in the late 19th and mid-20th centuries. His theory was once again validated by drilling coral atolls in the Bahamas. Elsewhere in the Pacific, for example, Vanuatu, a local land level rise has elevated coral reefs above sea level, and dead modern coral reefs occur well above sea level. If Pacific Island nation states enjoyed a sea level rise, their land area would increase. This was suggested by Darwin and has been confirmed by recent satellite measurements. Compaction, use of coral for cement manufacture, roads, and construction, and extraction of groundwater from unconsolidated coralline sand all lead to a relative sea level rise in the Pacific Islands, as does polar ice cap melting. Extinctions. Extinction is normal. Highly adapted terrestrial species, such as humans, have a short life, whereas some basic highly adaptable species can survive for billions of years, for example, bacteria. There is a great diversity of reasons for extinction, and climate change is only one of the minor causes. At any time in the history of the planet, there are extinctions, and hence, it is no surprise that we live in a period of extinction. Dominant species, such as humans, kill other species for food and change habitats. It has happened many times before. Vacated ecologies are quickly filled, and life goes on. Global warming may create a few extinctions, although most species, including plants, have the ability to move to their ideal climate. The history of the planet shows that there is a huge increase in biodiversity during warm times, and that extinctions are universal in colder times, when ecosystems are reduced or changed. For example, during the last glaciation, the Amazonian rainforest did not exist, and there were copses of trees and grasslands. Inland Australia was devegetated and covered by shifting sand dunes. The Australian Great Barrier Reef, the poster child of the Greens, disappeared during glacial events more than 60 times over the last 3 million years. It reappeared after every one of these events. The Great Barrier Reef first formed about 50 million years ago and has survived hundreds of coolings and warmings and massive rain events that deposit sediment on the reef. The sea levels fall, and lower temperatures during glacial events kill higher latitude coral reefs, and they continue to thrive at lower latitudes. The geological record shows that coral reefs love it warm, especially when there is more CO2 in the atmosphere. During glacial events, tropical vegetation is reduced from rainforests to grasslands, with copses of trees, somewhat similar to the modern dry tropics inland from the Great Barrier Reef. Climate Change: The Facts is published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved.